B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning. Welcome in, everybody. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. How many people checked out at halftime? Anybody check out at halftime? No? Stuck with it? Stayed up?
Yeah.
Would have loved to.
Hung with the whole game? It's the first game of the season, and we've had some bad ones this year where people are actually tweeting me, I turned it off. You're still watching? They're like, wow. We out. You gave up in the game almost as much as the Eagles players did. That's kind of what it looked like to me last night.
Ouch.
It's one thing to be less talented. It's one thing to be maybe out-coached. It's another to watch a team look like they gave up. And I know a lot of people will watch the Nelson Agholor play that happened in the fourth quarter last night and say, oh, you know what? The game was out of hand already. Had no effect on it. That's where you see where that's where you separate the men from the boys, that kind of thing. See who was really invested and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an example where I thought you saw somebody who was not at all really invested in last night's game. Carson Wentz gets crushed on that play. Does everything he can to extend it, air it out downfield. Nelson Agholor doesn't even make any effort to try to catch the football.
Mark, the ball was out of position.
That's the first time I've ever heard that about the football. The ball was out of position.
He told on himself.
Is that what he did?
Yeah, he said, I'm not good enough to make a play because it wasn't exactly in the line I was running.
Well, let me just say that. Let's start with the positive, all right?
Okay, now what?
Oh, I can't wait to hear what this is, Mark.
Yeah.
Please, tell me the positive.
Trey, I wanted to see the adjustment made, and you know what? Doug Peterson made the adjustment. They took the football!
Yeah!
All right!
Wait, that's the positive?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, let's get started. We're taking the ball.
And then Doug said, coin toss, take the ball. Carson, crisp throw on an out route to Nelson Agholor. The ball gets going a little bit. And you have a run up the middle. You get nearly a first down. Jordan Howard, I believe, is one running it up there about another 5 yards or so. Then Carson punches it over the line and gets the first down. And then there's a little pass, Dallas Goedert, middle of the field, fumble, and that was the end of it. That felt like the biggest the momentum that was building, the little bit of momentum, like, oh, look, they're moving the ball. All right. Little change made. Dallas Goedert fumble. 6 plays later, 7-0 Cowboys. 6 plays and 2 broken ankles by Orlando Scandrick later. The 7-0 Cowboys. Then they come back. They Miles Sanders runs up the middle. Another 6 yards. All right, let's go. Bounce back, boys. Fumble. Sack fumble. Carson Wentz. 2 plays later, 14-0 Cowboys. You're barely 6 minutes into this game. This game was over before it started, it felt like. There was the Eagles, no matter what they did, they were in quicksand. They couldn't make a good decision. Coaching-wise, they go for it on that, third and four situation, later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug Peterson dials up a run up the middle, a halfback draw. He pulls up for that. This game was over before it started. You knew when, Mayer went out onto the field for that 63-yard field goal. You knew he was making it before halftime.
Oh, that was the biggest lock of all.
How the hell do you allow them to get into field goal position there? You allow 94-year-old Jason Witten to catch 3 passes for 25 yards to march you down the field to get in field goal position?
Why not?
Well, without his hair, he's sleek. He's slick. He's quicker.
He is godlike. We have come to that conclusion before.
You watched the team quit last night. The worst possible scenario for the Eagles happened last night. And Jamie, I know you played this, and we're going to play a lot of sound from the locker room last night.
It wasn't pretty, Mark.
Well, there's 3 things. There's 3 takes we're going to play from the Nelson Agholor play later in the game. 1 from the head coach, 1 from the quarterback, and then 3 from Nelson Agholor. Because he almost catches himself in a lie. The way he describes the play. He didn't see it, then he did see it, then the ball was out of position. And by the way, how this offense is going to turn things around, Bob? Effort. Did you know that? Holding themselves accountable, Trey? Did you know that? Because I learned a lot from Nelson Agholor last night. I learned a lot. And throughout this entire game, I learned that you had an offensive line that just failed to really protect the quarterback. You had wide receivers that failed to help out their quarterback. You had a quarterback maybe missed a throw or two in this game. He wasn't perfect, but he was so far down the list. For the people that immediately want to jump to a hot take with Carson Wentz, yeah, not really on my list from last night.
There was an idiot.
The offense was terrible.
There was an idiot on Twitter burning his jersey.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was...
Probably for attention.
That was paid, right? Yeah, that's like... They're clickbait stuff, right?
I hope.
That's just somebody that wants to get his name out there.
I hope.
For a dumb reason. All right, good for you. Good luck to you and the rest of your life. But in all seriousness, there was nothing in this game that looked like it worked. Jalen Mills, who came back and actually played, I think, halfway decent.
Yeah.
Especially for a first game back.
Yeah.
Had an opportunity where... Who was it? Cooper that pushed off on him a little bit?
Uh-huh.
And he had an opportunity to turn around and maybe pick off a pass. Instead, decided to just floppity-flop-flop. Another opportunity later in the game where he just got beat by Amari Cooper. There was a little jab step at the end of his route that he used to actually extend a little bit. Go figure, a wide receiver making an effort to bring a ball down.
You're right there with him. Why can't you make an effort to get the ball? Get the ball away from the receiver. Instead, it was, okay, I ran right with him.
Yeah, ball was out of position, okay. I guess, on that play. But Trey,
it was a well-thrown ball.
It was a well-thrown ball.
But Trey, good coverage, too.
Good coverage.
Like, do something, though. Instead of just running with the guy, as you see him go up, try to separate him from the ball. Something.
And by the way, welcome into our fine people on Twitch. Here's the other part of this, though, Trey. I'm trying to figure out if this is a effort thing. I'm trying to figure out if it's a talent thing. I'm trying to figure out if it's a coaching thing. To me, I can't put my finger on all, like, of all the problems, usually we can ask, well, what do you blame the most? There was so much crap thrown through our televisions and into our living rooms last night from this game. I don't know what to put my finger on first.
Well, that's a nice crock pot of both, of lack of talent and effort.
What about coaching?
Coaching as well. That could be thrown in there as well. Diced up in there. Really nice.
They made a nice.
Let it simmer.
The Eagles made a nice crap stew for us.
And it smells bad.
Yeah,
it does.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. A lack of effort. First of all, I think Doug came out there. First of all. Does anybody else have anything else they want to say to the media?
Yeah, right.
Does anybody else have anything else they want to say to the media, to proclaim, to push out there to the media?
Is today the day for that? Like, with the team, is today the day where, like we were talking about last Friday, is today the day where Carson walks in and goes, which one of y'all bleepity bleeps got a problem with
that? That should have been handled when it first came out.
Yeah.
That should have been handled. It's what day was that? Friday or Saturday? That should have been handled Friday. That should have been the first meeting Friday morning. You know what? Hey, what is going on? Who is saying this? But my thing is, does anybody else have anything else that you wanted to... First, you had Zach Brown go back there and say, hey, you know, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he sucks.
Weak link. You know what? You pissed Kirk Cousins off. Now he's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Doug comes out. Hey, man, we're going to go into Dallas, get a win. You pissed off DeMarcus Lawrence and the rest of the team, which they put that up on the bulletin board. That was the first thing that they had in the meeting that day, saying, all right, hey, this is what the coach is saying to the media. Now, that's one thing to say it to your players. But when you push it out there into the media, now it's bulletin board material. And let this be an example, too, for everybody that feels like, you know what? Bulletin board material doesn't exist. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Eagles won a Super Bowl with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It exists. And when you say, when you give, make a statement like that, for whatever reason, it kind of puts a little something out there in the atmosphere. Especially if you don't have anybody behind you that's going to come out there and say, yeah, I got your back. You put something out there, then now you piss everybody else off. What, DeMarcus Lawrence goes out there? Well, I think he had a sack, maybe a couple
sack quarterbacks. He's the one that, the second, you know, touchdown.
A couple tackles for loss. Everybody's always bumping their gums, but not really having anything to put. You know, there's a saying. I put this out there yesterday.
Mm.
And back in my back where I'm from, you know, I'm from, everybody know I'm from Florida, you know, and it's a lot of wild stuff that happens down there.
We've heard, we read the press clippings.
But there's this saying that I've heard from time to time. You wrote a check that your ass can't cash.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that?
I've heard a variation of it.
Variation of it. Yeah, it's worldwide.
It's, we say mouth. Right. But you guys are about the ass.
Yeah, we say ass.
Ass men in Florida.
Damn right.
They wear thongs in the wintertime.
I had G-strings in the wintertime. That's right. But I'm sorry.
We got to laugh where we can, Trey.
We got to find our moments, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, but does anybody else have anything they want to say?
On this team, you mean?
This is period.
Shut your mouth. Everyone shut your mouth. You're embarrassing yourself.
And let's go play ball.
Yeah, this is where Doug says, talk among yourselves. Stop. Talk among yourselves. Get in that room, figure things out, and get going from here. I mean, the two things that I cannot stand in watching sports, and I don't care if it's six-year-olds or professional sports, lack of effort and stupidity. And it was on full display last night by the Eagles. Both of them.
Both units, I felt. Like, it was
everybody.
Every ounce of it was atrocious. I mean, there was nothing that you could really look at this game outside of the first minute where you went, all right, there we go, fellas. I will say this, Andre Dillard, not perfect by any means, but wasn't the biggest liability on the field.
No, he wasn't. You know, for you to show up in the game like this, I thought that he did a solid job.
He battled.
He went out there and right. battled. You know, he wasn't the problem. You know, when you go into a game like this, you're like, oh, man, I hope he does not get destroyed. Right. I tell you what, man, he went out there and gave you everything that he had. There are some technical issues that just have, you know, if he's going to continue to be your guy, he has to do it. You know, it's just some stuff that you just can't get around when it comes to playing this position. When you're getting bull rush, you cannot walk it back. You have to hop and sink your hips. That's something that you can't get around it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that should have been, as soon as you feel bull rush, you have to hop, you have to sink your hips. If you start walking, you get your ass walked back to the quarterback, and then there you go, you're in his lap, and then there's a sack. But you know, as he continued to progress, he went out there and gave you everything that he battled. There are times that also, too, when you get in the edge, there's a tackle. And this is young stuff. For anybody that plays off the line, you can't battle an edge rush when the guy has you edge with your left outside or outside arm extended. Same thing happened to Lane. When you get edge, now you have to pull that outside arm out of it, get strong with your inside arm, and run him by. If you try to sit up there and fight it with your outside arm, and you're gonna open up your hips. You can't get any push that way. So now you just get turned around and boom, there you go, sack, fumble, whatever. You know, a hit on the arm, you know, to throw the pass off.
Well, back to your point about bulletin board material.
Yes.
So I looked at a team that was just done last night. They looked like they were done after they were down 14-0.
No, it was 14-0. I wanted to go to bed. I knew it was over.
The minute they made the field goal right before halftime, it was like, okay, well, I think we know where this is going
to
go.
So desperately, I wanted to go to sleep.
Before this game, you had Doug Peterson talk about how they were going to win. Then you had Doug Peterson walk that back. Then you had a team show up the way they were going to show up. Or even before that, excuse me, Lane Johnson wanted to put a sock in DeMarcus Lawrence's mouth, and then he gets bowled over in the second possession of the game.
That was one of Lane's worst ever games.
It was atrocious. So then you also watch for the rest of the game a team to have that much of a, I don't know, disdain to even play the game the right way. Like, that's what you had in the early goings of this one. And then really throughout, to the tune of a 37-10 loss to the Cowboys in by far the biggest game of the year. Battling for first place. They win that game last night, and it's a totally different outlook on the day. Oh, we know the Cowboys suck. Cowboys can't beat anybody. They play even a halfway decent team.
They still haven't beat anybody.
Yeah, that's the point I'm getting to here, is the fact that the Cowboys, we were saying all before this game, oh, Cowboys, you play even a halfway decent team, they can't beat them. Well, that means that the Philadelphia Eagles suck. That's what that means. Like, remove Cowboys or Dallas from that and just suck. The Eagles suck. That's what we've learned from last night. Whether it's effort, whether it's talent, whether it's coaching, none of this is going to be a magic wand, and then someone's going to cast a spell to make this team all of a sudden good. That's to go into that game with all the talk beforehand and get blown out by 27 points is the most embarrassing thing, most embarrassing scenario you could have drawn up for the Eagles. That's the most embarrassing situation took place last night.
I thought they showed their mental weakness early, and it was in the first series when they throw a pass to Alshon Jeffrey and they throw a flag. And it looks like it's pass interference. I mean, I think 9 times out of 10 that's called pass interference.
It should have been.
They pick up the flag and say, no, feet got tangled. And you look at the look on some of the Eagles' face there. Oh, sir. And I couldn't help but think some of their minds didn't go back like mine and Jamie's did, as we talked about earlier, to last year on the opening kickoff fumble. And it's a mysterious, oh, no, we don't know who recovered a Dallas ball.
Right.
I really felt that mentally the Eagles were like, are you kidding? They're going to try to take this away from us. Just even if it was just for a hair, I thought like, oh, I hope this doesn't affect them. And it seemed to maybe. I mean, that's an obvious pass interference. You talked about the Goddard fumble taking away any momentum they had. Man, I'll tell you what, that play before it, not getting the, you get the flag and they pick it up. That to me seemed to take some momentum away also.
That's 2 years in a row. Now, look, this didn't have to do with the rest of the performance that followed it. But that's 2 years in a row now. There's been a pretty obvious call on the field where the flag has been picked up in Dallas versus the Eagles. It's hard not to be like, what the hell?
Well, the Eagles did get 30 yards of play on the like the third possession of the game. So, like, if any doubt crept in about officials, I thought it should have been extinguished on the third possession for them, where they actually scored a touchdown. Like, I look at the refs in this game, and yeah, that was a bad call. That should it should have been pass interference. But I got zero problem with the refs after
this
game.
No, you can't after
that. No, I'm not saying that. But that could have changed the course of the first quarter dramatically.
It really could have. Oh, sure. I mean, if that's a first down and stuff, now you're running the ball. Goddard's not fumbling. I mean,
don't bring up running backs, Bob.
Yes.
Don't bring up the running backs. It's a sore spot.
I have a big problem. I have a lot of trouble, I should say, looking at anybody else that's not in an Eagles jersey and just being pissed off. Excuse me, or a visor. Eagles visor or Eagles jersey. I'll look at it and I'll go, what the hell were you doing last night?
What the hell does Deuce Saley do?
I don't know. I don't know what he does. I don't know what Mike Rowe does. I don't know how Doug Peterson tries to police this locker room. Like, I give Doug every credit. I think the one thing that Doug does that is phenomenal is manage his locker room. But as we'll hear in a minute, Lane Johnson makes it seem like it's summer camp. Like, the lackadaisical, I don't know, atmosphere that's come into that locker room now, the NovaCare complex. Lane Johnson lets you see what's going on in those closed door meetings, where it seems like footloose and fancy free. We're cool. Hey Trey, we Gucci, man. Mm-hmm. You show up whenever you want. You talk whenever you want. Yeah, meetings time optional.
You think Lane would like his comments back from 2 years ago?
Which ones? What do you?
New England Patriots win, but they don't have fun. We have fun, and I'd rather win one having fun.
You know, it was fun.
We're having fun now, Lane.
That parade was fun.
Are we having fun in 2019, Lane? We having a good time?
No, I've been having a lousy time.
Everybody enjoying themselves?
And another thing you don't see either coming out of that said team that we're talking about are even players mouthing off to the media and also coaches making declarations to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Hey man, you know,
You didn't show up. Nobody showed up last night. All right, let's get Pete up here in Princeton. Pete, what's on your mind today?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, man.
I'm gonna try to put it in perspective. I think what last night did for us is it solidified that if we do win the division, we'll be the 4 seed. We'll play the 5 seed at home. That would probably be the second place winner in that West division, which would be Seattle, the Rams, maybe even Minnesota if Green Bay wins the division. And then if we win, we'd have to go out to San Francisco or New Orleans or somewhere else. I think that's kind of what this loss did to us. If we were 4-3 at this point, now we could see maybe 11-5. Maybe now we're the 3rd seed or maybe even a 2 seed if we get hot. So I think that's the number one thing that happened last night. But I'm talking to Trey here, I guess, for a minute here is, 3:35 left in the game. You're down 37-10. He leaves the offense on the field. Wouldn't you want to just kind of like, all right, guys, we lost this game. Why don't we just go down and score a touchdown here and really try to get our offense back? They gave up.
Yeah.
3:35 left. They just kept handing the ball off to Boston Scott. I thought that showed a lot of like, why not leave the offense out there, go after it, try to get that touchdown at the end of the game to show, okay, we played poorly. Let's go into Buffalo and go there. What do you think, Trey?
I felt like, you know, it's pretty much like how you said. I felt like, you know, when you bring the starting group back out there with 3 minutes left, I'm sitting there watching the game. Oh, they just gave up. You didn't run any type of ball. All you did was just, all right, let's just run the ball. Let's kill the clock and let's just get on out of there. I have never seen a team, I don't care how many points you're down, you always go down swinging. This was not going down swinging.
And I just thought the idea of was like, hey, let's get on the Buffalo, let's get on the right track here, you know, let's get that last touchdown, go down and show that, you know, what this team has. And I really didn't like that approach at the end where it was like, you know, we're just going to give the ball. We give up. We're not even trying to throw the ball anymore. I just put the bad taste in my mouth. Guys, have a great day.
You too, Pete. Thanks. I saw some people tweeting about how Carson Wentz should not have been in the game late.
I mean, if Boston Scott's going to be getting the carries, get him the hell out of there. Yeah. What are we doing?
I thought so, too.
Yeah, I thought it was weird. I thought we had this conversation last year, and it's like, if you're Carson Wentz, do you allow yourself to be taken out of that game? And the answer is no. Because you want to play. You want to be out there on the field. You want to be more or less, if you're Carson and not like Nelson Aguilar, for instance, you want to see the ball into the mitt. You want to finish the game. But you're right. If Boston Scott's going to be in there, what the hell are we doing?
And who's making the call then? Now it kind of comes back to you're thinking, all right, is Doug Peterson? Did Carson say, no, I want to play? And Doug's like, oh, okay, go ahead. I mean, as a head coach, you know what? Sit down. We need you for the rest of the year. If we're going to make a push, we can't afford to get you hurt. Sit down.
Yeah.
Sudfeld, get in there.
Sudfeld or McCown.
Yeah. I mean, they activated all three because out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Because they have so many guys hurt, you had to activate guys that weren't even going to play because you have so many guys that are hurt.
Well, that tells you that they really was kind of concerned with what Diller was going to do. Well, you say, all right, we need all of our quarterbacks activated because we don't know, you know, if any of them are going to be able to hold up against this rush.
I mean, you activated Ronald Darby last night. You didn't even play him. Sidney Jones was activated. Now but you didn't even play him.
And inactives came out like 2 hours before kickoff. Usually it's 90 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Usually it's 90 minutes before.
So Ronald Darby's watching Rasul Douglas get cooked by Amari Cooper, and he's just going, yeah. I'm here. I'm cool if you need me.
So let me ask this. While you're watching this game and you're watching it play out, and look, I don't know when DeSean Jackson's coming back, and I also don't know when DeSean Jackson's going to come back at 100%.
This is something that you see a lot on the team anyway. When you said that with Darby sitting there watching, who was that? Douglas getting cooked.
Yeah.
You see the same thing, too, when JP is out there, when he's like, Diller's out there getting his ass kicked. I'm just sitting over there with a nice, cool.
Oh, yeah. Glass.
You know, they have no problem sitting on the sideline watching their guys get their ass destroyed.
Nope.
Instead of stepping out there and like, you know what, I got you. You know, let me do whatever I got to do to get back on the field. They have no problem.
Darby should have been foaming at the mouth to get in that game last night.
I think Jason Peters was actually the only guy that was injured that made the trip.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah, and they said basically as a extra Andre Dillard coach.
Yes. I think that Michelle Tafoya said that in a pregame hit, pre-kickoff hit, right before the kickoff happened there. But here's the thing. Did the Eagles become sellers last night?
Certainly have to consider it.
Like I saw a lot of people tweeting about, like, thank God we didn't get the Eagles didn't get Jalen Ramsey because that would have been a waste because this season's over anyway. I would still like to get Jalen Ramsey because if you're getting him, I think that also means you're going to sign him long term. So I'd like to have him as a corner as opposed to trying to draft one. But did the Eagles become sellers last night? Is it possible that Howie Roseman now looks at this, the next week or so, and it goes, hey, you know what, let me see if I can acquire some stuff
here. He won't.
As opposed to trying to give stuff up.
But he should probably consider it.
I don't know. I mean, you are, look, as bad as last night was, and we're all feeling it, you are only one game out. Mm-hmm. And you are one game out to a team that just lost three in a row. Granted, they kicked your ass, but they're not that great of a team either. I don't think you can. I don't think it's time to give up, not even close. And plus, you have the recent memory of last year when things got bad. You got stoned out in New Orleans when they lost 48-7 or whatever it was, and then they go on a little ride and make a little run in the playoffs. You can't. You have to be realistic here. You can't become
sellers. Last year was almost like a bad case scenario for them because they flat out got lucky to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that probably made things a little passive and a little justified in, oh, no, we're fine. We were just injury bugs.
That's a good point.
Maybe that was fool's gold. And maybe they were damn lucky to get in the playoffs last year. And maybe that masked a lot of problems they had this offseason and right now, frankly.
Well,
things aren't that bad. We can still get in.
Yeah, 9-7. Like, do anyone do backflips over 9-7?
No.
Alshon Jeffrey
not drops
that ball. Remember, if he doesn't, they're in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, well.
This is our new norm, right?
No, but what I'm saying is, even be like, to take your point to the next step, it's not just about making the playoffs.
No,
it's
no.
It's also about, oh, well, you know, if our guy catches that ball, we're probably in the NFC Championship game as well.
Man.
After all the struggles throughout the entire 16-game schedule for ourselves, if he just catches that ball, we were even better than just making it into the playoffs, winning our last three games in a row, and then losing in the playoffs the way they did. Oh, we were better than that. We should have been in the NFC Championship game. We should have been playing the Rams or whatever.
I feel like there's the excuse vestibule is getting full for this team.
There's no excuses. This is BS.
Tell that to the players in the locker room.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's where the coach has to get involved again.
Yeah.
If he's really that great of a player's coach, this is the time where he's going to have to find that proverbial magic wand and all of a sudden make this team good.
Well,
but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, me neither. And the thing about coaching to me is when you see mistakes, they get corrected. They are making the same mistakes week after week after week, and they're not getting corrected. Two that stand out to me. How many times in the first quarter are you going to get killed on misdirection plays?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous. We all know what's coming. Everybody except the Eagles knows it's coming, and they get killed on misdirection every time. And Miles Sanders, what are you doing on kickoff returns? This is a handful of times now where you get the ball 2 yards in, you start to go, you stop, then you go, and your team gets totally, you know, off kilter, and you're getting tackled at the 10-yard line.
To your point about taking the bait and how many times you're going to get fooled, Nate Gary played 100% of the snaps last night.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Let that one sit. Nate Gary played 100% of the snaps.
What are you telling me?
That's pathetic. The fact that he plays 100% of the snaps. The fact that he's even on a team. The White Snake sucks.
The White Snake leads your team in interceptions, bucko.
Oh, that's great. That should tell you how bad right there this season is.
Zach Brown,
White Snake
no
was
need.
Your leading tackler last night with 11.
Yeah, the White Snake takes the play action bait every single time.
Yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around. Andy Reid used to say everyone's got a piece of the pie. Everyone's got the cherry pie on their face right now.
Yeah.
Sam, what's our Twitter poll today? What are we asking the fine people?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, did the Eagles quit last night? We have just under 600 votes so far. 89% say yes they quit.
Oh, my God.
That might be the highest ever.
Oh, my goodness.
On pace for.
Wow. Bobby!
Yeah, it's not true.
Trey! Good. That many people feel the team that they watched last night quit!
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, you know what? When we come back, immediately, you're going to hear Lane Johnson basically just let you in the NovaCare complex and all the tomfoolery that must be going on there, because this team does not appear to be taking the rest of this season seriously. Time of the Fanatic 623.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
They say all the time, you know, sports is all about the players. Very rarely is it about the coach in terms of, you know, policing the locker room, policing the clubhouse, policing the dressing room. A lot of times it's better when the veteran guys are policing that area, right? So, Trey, what would you do as a veteran player? If you were the guy that had to step up and say something, what would be said at this moment?
I mean, at this moment, this should have been handled. This should have been nipped in the bud way back when.
Mm.
You know, cats showing up late to practice, late to meetings. I mean, this should have been handled. I mean, at the first time it happened, This shouldn't be something that's happening over and over again, where it's kind of, oh, it's the norm.
Yeah.
Wow. Trey, they're having fun, though.
Well, it doesn't look like they're having fun.
No, it doesn't look like they're having fun.
That's last their night culture. That's their atmosphere. It's fun.
Well, it's funny you say that, Jamie.
It's fun. It's good times.
Because I saw Lane Johnson did two interviews last night. He did one that was one-on-one with Derek Gunn on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Then he also went over to John Clark of NBC 10 and did a little hit with those guys as well, where he kind of left you scratching your head. After you lose 37-10. This is one of the last things you want to hear from a guy that's supposed to be one of the leaders on the team. Here's Lane Johnson postgame.
Really, it's going to be probably a call-out session. Everybody will be held accountable. You know, little stuff that slides during the week, you know, late to practice, late to meetings, late, you know, this and that. Stuff will start to be, you know, held accountable for, and I think that'll maybe creep into the games.
At 3-3 during an underachieving, very disappointing year, who's getting away with being late to practice, late to meetings? Who's getting away with that right now, Trey? What the hell is going on in that office, in that building?
I'm telling you, man, you know, this isn't something that's just started happening.
So this also happened Super Bowl year.
Oh yeah. This stuff that's been going on for a while.
A lackadaisical
building.
But
when you win, you know, things, you know, get kind of, you know, you let it slide.
All right.
But this is stuff that's been happening for a while. Now, when, you know, everything is up against you, you've been getting smacked around. Now you want to try to call people out. All right.
Yeah, we seem to think that Doug had that perfect balance of being a player's coach, and although having them disciplined and all that stuff during the Super Bowl run, we never questioned discipline. We said it was a great locker room, whatever it may be. I think the greatest attribute a coach can have in any sport is that you're a player's coach, but you also can handle the discipline part of it. They're doing, you guys are communicating well, which is the player's coach's part, but they're also doing what needs to be done, which is the discipline part. Now it looks like it's kind of coming out to a leak, which happens often. When you're that player's coach, you don't have that discipline part. And that's scary that Lane Johnson said that last night.
When do you step in now as a disciplinarian? You should have guys that are ready to go after this game, guys that are pissed off.
Begs the question, Kenny? Can he all of a sudden be this fun-loving coach for the past 3 years and non-disciplinarian and now come in and start acting like a hard ass? Because usually when somebody does that, it doesn't work.
No.
Because you've already set the precedent of what you are.
But you've won with him as a head coach. And the other part of it is he flat out questioned his guy's effort. Not after this game, but he did in the first year of his career. First year as a head coach.
Yeah, but he won when they were having fun.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm saying is he basically had a team meeting where the players were well aware of what he said in his press conference after the Bengals game. And he won his team back. Last night, he needs another opportunity to discipline this team and still keep them under his wing, keep them under his wraps.
Well, that's not an easy task.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying,
yeah, good luck, Doug.
If you're going to have confidence in anyone to do that, I have confidence in Doug to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's done it in the past when they were bad before in his first year. Now he has to do it again. And unfortunately, this team doesn't have that talent level that the team that won the Super Bowl did. And that's even before the Super Bowl, and it goes without saying. But it's a lot easier to turn things around when you have optimism to be better as the season goes on. Right now, I don't know if this team has any confidence going into Buffalo, let alone the rest of the schedule.
And then you add the Josina Anderson element into it all, too, and it just makes it worse.
And let me just clear this up for you, everybody. You know, when you're saying, okay, yeah, the players are going to go in and you need your leaders to go in there and handle the locker room. Mm-hmm. Well, what if it's your leaders?
Yep.
Your perceived leaders.
Because
this isn't Miles Sanders that's showing up late for practice and late for meetings and is sliding. These are your leaders. These are the pillars of your team. The ones that you're building this thing around. You're the ones that you're expecting to be accountable, to show the younger guys how to do it. That's showing up late. That's talking to the media. These are your leaders that's doing that. This isn't somebody. This isn't Matt Collins.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, like I said, Miles Sanders or one of the other rookies or something like that. Dillard.
I said this last night on the postgame show, and Andrew looked like he was stunned when I said it. When Lane says comments like that, I went exactly where you're at, Trey.
Yeah.
To me, this is real perceived leaders of this team that are being granted a sliding scale of accountability. And I don't want to say Carson himself is that, because I really don't think he is. But I think he's given some leeway amongst, you know, maybe your Malcolm Jenkins, your Fletcher Coxes, your Brandon Grahams, that some of the underlings under them that aren't leaders look at it, and that leads to resentment.
Yeah, but I think a lot of teams allow that leeway. I mean, it's the famous Jim Johnson line. I mean, he cuts a player for being late. Emmett Smith is late, and he goes, well, you know, what's the line?
Well, yeah.
Some players are more equal than others.
To a degree.
Yeah.
But those teams didn't have, you know, whispers coming out of the locker room to ESPN reporters saying, oh, this guy, this guy, this guy. It's a bad culture right now.
And it's
bottom line.
It might be the biggest fall from the Super Bowl team among everything that you look at is the culture in the locker room, because that's all we talked about was, yeah, you can take on a Michael Bennett. You can bring in guys. It doesn't matter because this locker room is so tight and so strong and so good that everything can be fixed internally. And now it seems like it's bursting at the seams.
Well, see, I think one of Doug's attributes, best attributes, is knowing when to get out of the way. Now let's see if one of his best attributes is also knowing when to get the hell involved.
Yeah.
Because now is the time to crack the whip.
Fair enough.
After that type of display, now is the time to crack the whip. Let's get B-Hawk up here in Philly. What's up, B-Hawk?
Man, I ain't trying to hear nothing, man. Man, we gave him a pass a couple weeks ago, did we not?
When who we give a pass to?
Remember we talking to the Eagles, okay, we got the next Bob broke me out of it. Man, it was only, you know, when we lost the game a couple weeks ago. This game right here against the Stars with all these influx of Cowboys fans in this city, we ain't happy. Everything y'all said was spot on, man. And it's a lot of comfort. I think it's a lot of comfort sending after that Super Bowl win. Look, it's shown, it's very apparent right now. No control of the team. You just come out. We can't tackle, can't read. We just folded up in Dallas. Man, a couple weeks ago, okay, you called up in Dallas, man, on the momentum game, bro.
Biggest game of the year.
I ain't trying to hear nothing, man. I'm heated. You know, I'm just venting right now. I'm going to feel better. Probably talk to my staff a little bit. But right now, they catching it. They deserve to catch every little thing. Doug, take it like a man. No excuses, no attitude against the media. You're supposed to eat everything that's supposed to come in your way today.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe this is where you allow your guys like Greg Ward to try to have a little bit of an impact. You gave Boston Scott the garbage time at the end of the game. Like, this is where guys have to lose jobs in order to be motivated to get back on the football field. Like, this is where, if you're really going to shake things up, if you're Doug Peterson, that's really the only option you have right now.
That's what them boys, that they got that. They king, the king of the rentals, you know who I'm talking about. They got a culture. My man don't smile. He's a jerk, but he about business. Do your job. Doug needs to adopt that philosophy, man, going forward. Man, we about to go into the gauntlet, man. We about to see a couple defensive teams, man.
Oh, right we're now. In the gauntlet, B-Hawk. That's the problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, look, like today, ain't no cut, no corners. Everybody can go except for 11. I'm about to really go in. Everybody, for all I care right now, you can press the button and how we had them phones ringing. Man, we don't even care. Where was Ertz yesterday as well? Where was a couple of our players? We got almost a $90 million of plus man sitting on the defensive line that is not even being a pack, man. You know,
I barely saw Fletcher. Thanks for the call, B-Hawk. I barely saw Fletcher Cox till the second half. Like one or two plays in the second half, and then that was really it. And he's supposed to be one of your studs as well. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, top of the hour, we're going to get in that Nelson Agholor play, and we're going to give you the three perspectives of that play from the head coach, from the quarterback, and for the man who said the ball was out of position.
We didn't get to the Lane Johnson sound either. I want to hear that.
Oh, we just played Lane.
We did? No, we just talked.
No, we played Lane.
Did we play?
Definitely played Lane.
We heard it.
Yeah.
Where was that?
That's how angry you are. Yeah. You're taking notes.
Yeah, you were probably breaking down the offense. By the way, Trey gave me an offensive line lesson. So come at me, bro. Before the show today, Trey's like, Mark, stand up for a minute. And I'm like, huh? What's going on? And then he...
I'm going to pancake your ass.
Pretty much that's what happened. He's like, this is what Andre Diller was doing. Now sink your hips. And I'm like, Trey, talk to me. And then he's like, no, now you sink your hips. And I'm like, okay, Trey, I'll sink my hips. And I sunk my hips. And then I learned how to do what Andre Diller should have done last night.
Against a bull rush.
Against a bull rush.
Right.
Oh, no, we were just having... Trey and I were just having our intimate moment before every show. All right, coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear from that locker room what they said about Nelson Agholor after the game. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 6:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Coming up about 8 minutes, we'll let you hear all the reactions from Nelson Aguilar's route that he ran, the throw in the fourth quarter, with about 11 minutes left. We'll let you hear from the head coach, we'll let you hear from the quarterback, and we'll let you hear from the man himself, Nelson Agholor. But let's be happy for 1 second, Trey. Your mug game is on point again.
Oh, the mug is amazing.
We're having some Twitch difficulties, but that's like a barrel with a handle.
Yeah.
Bob, how would you describe that?
A barrel with a handle is perfect, and then what is on there is just puts it over the top.
Yeah, I might have to take a picture.
You didn't see that, did you?
Oh, you didn't see. No. Oh, yeah, this is the whole point of it.
On the side of it, yeah, it has the eagle.
Yes, it does.
And then around it, it says, big can of thunder.
Big can of thunder.
And then on the bottom, on the bottom. Drinks,
yes,
you see, big can of thunder.
That's awesome.
That is a great mug.
It's an amazing mug.
It's an incredible mug. And I will say that it looks like a mug that you have to slam down on a large reception room table and yell, more mead!
Yeah.
Like, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, and it has some metal in there to keep the water nice and, and cool.
Nice and crisp.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Where did you order that from, do you know?
I'm not sure. I think I was on Amazon.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then it came from another country.
Sounds like drunk ordering to me.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, drunk or, you know. So, yeah.
It is incredible.
Yeah, it's
that
an amazing
is great.
So that's a positive thing to talk about. Here's another positive thing to talk about today. The Union won.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Way to go.
Doopity doop doops.
Yeah.
Doop 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 a loop.
It's fun to watch.
They won. Yeah. I heard they had a little glitch. We won't get to that because we're talking positive.
No, absolutely. Great. It was so much fun to watch. And when you couldn't see it, I was following it on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, great. I mean, they're down 2 goals. They were down 2-0, 3-1, came back 1-4-3 in extra time. Oh, it was awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's Wednesday, the Sixers play.
Yeah, that's good, too.
People were going to that almost immediately after the Dallas Goedert fumble.
Yes, they were.
And then even more so at 14-0. So all that was fun. Let's get to, who do we have here? Lenny and Pittman. What's going on, Lenny?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I've been better, but all right.
I have a little observation to make. Is it possible that this coach, he buries his face in that damn chart all game? Does he ever look up to see? I think the two teams could leave the field and he wouldn't know it. I mean, there's a minute 36 left in the game and he's looking into the chart and I'm thinking, what play is it you got in there when it's 37-10 that you're going to find on that piece of paper? I just can't believe how he's buried in that chart.
Oh, he got defensive last night too. That little third and four where they ran a little halfback draw. He got a little defensive after the game.
There was a wide open hole.
You know something? I'm not a coach, and I know that's the first thing to tell you. That, you know, you're not a coach, you don't see it. But Howard was gaining. I mean, he was getting hit after the play and still getting 2 yards. And then all of a sudden, he just takes him out of the game.
That seems to be an ongoing thing for Doug Peterson.
So in the series where Goddard scored the touchdown to make it 14-7, and you are right on this, Lenny, Howard carried the ball 5 times for 32 yards. Okay? Great series for him. The rest of the half, he carried 2 times, and Sanders got it about 6.
And something else I think we ought to stop giving up on. When he first came on the team as a rookie, Dallas Goedert, he's the next, Jason Witten and I. Dallas Goedert hasn't done a damn thing, really. In my opinion, he hasn't done a damn thing. So I don't know why we get this big buildup with Dallas Goedert. And Zach Ertz didn't do his. See, what happens when you take the 5-yard curls and out? He could, you know, that's his claim to fame, 5-yard curls.
Yeah. There's a lot to be upset with the tight ends. Dallas Goedert was your lone touchdown scorer last night, unfortunately, but he also had the big fumble to start off things for the Eagles offense. But really, here's the thing. I know last year we criticized Carson Wentz a lot for focusing on Zach Ertz too much.
Mm-hmm. Where is he this year?
Can he do that again? Can he start that at any time, please?
4 times this season in games, he has not been targeted in the first quarter. 4 times.
It's almost like he's so conscious to not do it that maybe, I don't know.
It also says to me the play calling is going, it's so predictable that 4 times they're not targeting him in the first quarter of games.
And that one blitz that was absolutely atrocious, I think it was a 3rd down where they did the fake blitz on the left side and then they brought the quarterback.
Yeah.
One, Carson.
It was 3rd and 6.
Yeah, 3rd and 6. One, Carson should have seen that coming because the guy had about a 15 yards just wide open start at him.
Which one? The corner?
The corner.
You were telling me about this before.
Now, Ertz was wide open on the play.
See, I thought Marinelli did a great job.
It was.
On that blitz.
But Carson wasn't scanning the right side of the field at all.
So, Trey, what were they supposed to do on that play? Because I thought, like, if you're just standing there and you're looking ahead of you, I thought they did a great job of masking it. But there's a little textbook thing you have to do before this.
You have to make sure you watch the safeties. You know, it's all about safety rotation when you're looking at the blitz. What they did was they gave you the both the linebackers was right there in the A-gaps. So it made Kelce slide the entire line right. Everybody slid right, slid left. Right. And you had the back on the left side. So I don't understand why you would slide everybody to the left like that and then leave the corner just coming through clean.
So would that be then Carson Wentz's responsibility to take Miles Sanders and put him on the other side, or would that be Jason Kelce?
This is like, I have to see it from the coach's copy because I want to see how the safeties rotated. Okay. Now, maybe this was something where it was perfectly timed, where now the safety comes out right when you're getting into your silent count. But at times it seems like the reason that they keep Kelce's head up is so that he can pick up on all of this. Mm-hmm. And redirect anything. That's why they have Brandon Brooks looking back at Carson to get the cadence, to know when to tap Kelce, when to start the cadence, so that Kelce can keep his head up to scan what the defense is doing.
I thought it was, like, I looked at that play and I was like, hey, Jim, can we do that? Because that looked brilliant. Whatever they dialed up in that situation, I don't know if it was the corner trying to read the offense there and saying, okay, this is the opening here. Everybody's going to the left side, including the running back who's in the backfield next to Carson Wentz. I have a clean shot.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.